This episode, Keeping the Critters Out. Well, John and Larry decided we'd have a discussion about keeping warm-blooded critters out of the house. This does not include children, but some of these techniques would work for children just as well. Both hosts, both John and I, have had a little problem with some of our furry friends, mostly squirrels, but also I've had a few rats and mice as well. So anyway, we're going to give you some tips to keep these unwanted critters out of your home. Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition is entitled, Keeping the Critters Out. And to help me explain, as always, is my ever cheerful co-host, an old buddy, John. Johnny?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about getting rid of our fuzzy friends.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, I had a lot of problems with those squirrels. I tell you what, once they get the scent, boy, they're just relentless.
Yeah, so that's you're starting off with wonderful points. They scent, right? Yeah. So they control where they come in by scent. And so there's one of the tips we'll give in the future will be about that.
But my story is, you know, once they do that, we'll get to all this in a minute, but once they do that, boy, they continue. And I had problems with one particular place on my house, and they kept it up. This was year over year over year. And I had my house sealed up, you know, and they ripped some of that off, some aluminum off, and they actually got back in. But they're not getting back in now. So, you know, it was just a learning curve over what turned out to be several years,
right,
of finding where these things were getting into, you know. And then, of course, you know, you got all the others we'll talk about. But, you know, people, it's really funny. I'll see squirrels sitting on somebody's house, you know, right at the break of dawn. And I'm like, yeah, they're in.
Yeah, they're in.
They're in. So
we had them. So we don't have an actual attic or crawl space, and they got up in between our joists and rafters in the house, and they were scratching. And then they actually got above. We have a small bathroom upstairs, and they actually started nesting above that. And how do I know that? Well, I took my camera, and I've got great video of, you know, my little fuzzy buddies up there, and they did not like the camera coming up into their little nest.
Yeah, right.
They did not think that was all that much fun, but. So anyway, they're problematic, and they're actually quite difficult to get rid of.
Very.
Did you have a professional company come out and do your?
Yeah, I did, because, you know, all of this was, you know, 35, 40 feet in the air. And I'm like, those days are long gone.
So. Yeah. And the reason I'm asking that is we had a professional company come out and do ours as well. And the reason was for exactly the same reason. They were up at the very highest peak of the house, right? At the worst place.
Always.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's actually part of the tip, right? Is understanding that they're going to go to the places where you won't. Right. And so does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're going to be in those inaccessible places, because let's be honest, if you could just put some wire screen right over the hole that's right above your door, you know, that's 10 feet off the ground, you do that. And that's we did that, because that was where they first started coming in, was right in above the house. Yeah. And we shut all that off, and then they still were getting in. I'm like,
they were just laughing at you.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, and they just laughing
sit
at
up there and chatter at me.
Right.
And I'm like,
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so with that, so what are some of the triggers about why they come into your home?
Well, when it gets cold, you know, and they'll find a warm opening, or they'll sense. It seems like they sense, you know, the warm air coming out of maybe a leak or something out of your house, and then they'll start. You know, I've had them just dig right through the siding. And I always tell people, you know, they always, it always amazes me. People take pictures of the squirrels, you know, and they see them hanging on their screens and stuff, you know. Oh, look, isn't this cute? Yeah, isn't this cute, you know, and they post it on the, you know, on one of the Nextdoor apps or, you know, whatever you use. And I'm like, no, you know what's going to happen is they're going to get on the top, like you just said, that as far away as they can and cause about, you know, $600 or $800 worth of damage just to get in. And then who knows what goes on, you know, in your attic, you know, if they, you know, if any of these other kind of, rodents get in there and start chewing wires apart and stuff. And, you know, you're on vacation, you come home and your house is just like a smoking match. So,
well, the good news there is you got rid of the squirrels at least.
And that, yeah, they got rid of themselves. Well, but maybe not because, you know, they'll bail out. They'll like, oh, hell, look at, we just lit a fire. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Yeah, right. It's not squirrel flambe, as they say, unfortunately. But so, too, one of the other things is I've also had rats. I've actually had Norway roof rats, which are very, very similar.
Those are tough to get rid of, too.
Yeah, they're tough. They're actually easier than squirrels because they will respond to poison fairly well. But one of the we're going to get to the tips, and I think that that's it. But the big reason, the first question was why they get in, and John's right. It's always seems like it's at a weather change. They want to go just like we do. They want to go to a nice, warm, comfortable spot that's dry, you know, and so they love attics and crawl spaces and up under your soffits. Now, one of the things, too, if you think about it, if you're a rodent and you've got two big front teeth and you're going to dig through things, what might be the type of wood you're looking for, John?
Any of it. I will tell you, I've had it all. I got a squirrel that's been chewing on my 5/4 boards.
On your deck?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I've had it all, man. I can talk about this all day. I don't want to talk about this all day, but...
Well, okay.
I mean, they come through, but rotten wood, you know.
Rotten wood is where I was going with that.
Yeah, rotten wood. Yep. If you have rotten wood, they'll that's their easiest entry, you know.
And where is the rotten wood usually?
Well, it's usually in... It's to me where it was in nooks and crannies that I couldn't get to, up. They, if you notice, so they're always in like a hidden little crook or something in your roof line or something like that.
Corners.
So, yeah, it's always something like that, and you just have to be after this all the time. And even if you don't have rotten wood. And you live around these things, you know, or they live around you, boy, I'm telling you, relentless.
Relentless. They're relentless. Yeah. So they're looking, so they like to go in that rotten wood. So it's kind of funny. So when you get, you don't want to have the squirrels, but one of the biggest tips we can say is watch your soffits and your fascia. And if it starts to rot, replace it, you know, get it done because it keeps the critters out as well. It's more than just aesthetics. It actually keeps the critters out of your home. Rats, mice, it doesn't matter. Squirrels, all the same. It's going to keep birds for that matter. Bats. If you have bats, you know, you're same thing. You're looking for holes where they get in. And I actually had a home with bats in it once, John. That was really challenging too, because bats, fortunately, we only had like two, thank God, because, man, if I'd had a whole bunch of bats, it would have been really bad. And I actually got the bats out without having to do anything to harm them, which I was really glad. But I got them out one day. Man, it was really dicey. I'm in the attic. You know, they're flying around.
Well, the thing about
they fly out.
Yeah, and the thing you have to be careful about is that, you know, they're, you know, rabies.
Rabies, right.
And that's a scary part about, you know, having those things around for sure.
Yep. But the other side of it is bats are very, like, I don't want to get rid of bats because of the amount of bugs that they eat. So they're really a beneficial animal to have around. You just don't want them in your attic. You really don't. Build a bat house and put them out in the bat house. Anyway, be that as it may. All right, so they're living up in dry, you know, up in your attic in a dry conditions and beautiful points. So the key here is trying to find those entry points. And we've kind of alluded to some of those things. I'll tell you one way to find an entry point that I've used in the past, entry point meaning where the squirrels and or rats and or whatever get in, is to go up in the, when it's light outside, but go up when it's dark up in the attic, turn the lights off and look, if you can see daylight, you have a potential entry point that you need to somehow close up in some way or another. And there's a bunch of different ways to do that. One of the most effective ways is to put hardware cloth up, which is just metal mesh And John, you put, what'd you do? You had them put, they put, aluminum up
like fascia? In a lot of places, and then used, you know, the aluminum screen and others, the thick aluminum hardware cloth, or the stuff that we used at that, at the deck, that house.
Yeah. That's hardware cloth. No, that was perforated metal. Anyway, same basic difference. But something that they can't chew through, basically, right? And it needs to be pretty thick. You'd be surprised. And they'll go through, like, aluminum flashing. They'll actually chew through that.
They pull it off. What they'll do is they'll take the hardware cloth and then put the prongs out. they'll bend it out. Because as soon as they get poked, they go the other way.
Yep.
And they actually attach this stuff with screws, you know, the little screws, the nut drivers, you know. But it can be a real challenge to close the place up.
So one of those tips is you want the animals to be out if possible. Now at my house, they actually had one way.
Extruder box.
Yeah, they had a box where the animal could get out and not get back in. Yeah, and that would be one of the few reasons why I would say actually don't, besides height and a few other safety concerns, why you shouldn't, basically sometimes you shouldn't do this by yourself. But if you, unless you can get one of those boxes where they can actually get out, you want to make sure they're out, because if they're in, what they'll do is dig a hole somewhere else to get out.
Oh, yeah.
So you just create a different set of problems.
If you get a couple of those things cornered, you got yourself a real circus going on.
And don't let your cat or dog up there either.
Yeah, I mean, and these are the least of the worries I can get up there. I always joke with the guys. I'll see them; they'll have their uniforms on, that their critter control and stuff like that, and I know what they're doing. And I always ask them about the stories about what they find. It's always entertaining. And I'm thinking to myself, well, man, I don't want to be up in the attic running across a cornered raccoon.
Johnny, didn't we post that picture out on our Facebook group of the guy that went down in the crawl space and there was a bear hibernating under there? Did we post that one?
Yeah, that was quite a picture.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So that's finding those entry points and trying to get them closed up. Again, make sure that, try to get the pens out. The other one that we talked about it before, but that scent, John, are there some tips that you have for reducing the scent?
I honestly don't. I don't know how to get rid of that other than blocking it for a while. I mean, you can try washing it off. I tried everything, it's hard to tell where... It's hard to tell where that scent is.
Yeah, of course.
And that's an issue. I know the guys that we had some rats or a mouse or whatever come in, and the guys were looking around, and if you see a grease spot between, like in our case, it was between the siding and the foundation, that's where they're coming in, because it comes off their coat, off their fur.
Yep.
But I don't know how to really get rid of the scent other than trying to bleach it off or doing something.
Like there's a whole lot of ways to do it that are just like that. You can use
or you could go literally up in the attic and pee on it, Larry.
They're not really the human scent doesn't scare them, right? Yeah, you need a predator scent.
Actually, it's like, hey, man. I smell a human. There's food around.
There's food around. That's right. That's exactly it. So it's actually,
those things get smart quick too.
They do. Yeah. Well, folks, if you've ever had a bird feeder where you've tried to keep the squirrels out, good luck. I've never seen one that actually truly works. I mean, they do, but then they figure the freaking things out. It's amazing.
It is.
Anyways, some of the things, like you said, John, I've heard people spray fox urine and things like that. And folks, where do you get fox urine? Go ask some hunter friends. They'll tell you, because they use it as a scent mask for people. But that's kind of nasty. You can try some things like pepper spray and stuff like that. It's the same thing. It sort of kind of works, but not really. I mean, it might work. I think one of the things that you and I have done that works pretty successfully, believe it or not, this will drive them out too. If you want to close up the holes, stick your ozone generator up there. That drives them out. Definitely drives them out. I don't know if it keeps them out, but boy, they won't stick around in the attic for very long when you run the ozone generator in there.
Yeah, and if they can't get out, it'll kill them. But
it'll kill them, right?
And then you got a whole new. I used to have dead squirrels up in the attic, and man, boy. That's some kind of stink that permeates the whole house. Boy, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. So some of the other, you know, to get them out, some of the other options are trap them. You can try poison. I've never had any luck with poison whatsoever with squirrels. They just won't eat it. I've tried peanut butter. I've tried everything. Nothing.
No, it doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
You got to trap them in a live trap or whatever and get
live trap.
And then, you know, I've seen people, they trap them in a live trap and have a heart trap or whatever. And then they take it down the street, you know, or in another neighborhood and dump the thing. But you know, that's band-aiding the whole situation. You got to close we just talked about it. You got to fix it. It's just not going to go away.
Will not go away. The only poison I've ever heard that works is lead poisoning, and that's usually of the .22 caliber variety.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
unfortunately
true.
If they're really bad, you really sometimes that's the only option. You just have to remove them.
I have found that some squirrels, you know, some are better than others, and there are some, I don't know what it is in their gene pool, but some of them are just absolute crazy chewers on everything. Like, you know, for instance, I had, you know, my grill was eaten up. All the plastic parts were eaten up. My garden hose started to get eaten up.
Yeah. I don't understand that, but
they ate up my solar lights. You were here one time when the thing was eating on my solar lights.
Yes, I was. And it was really annoying, honestly.
You know, so there's sometimes you just, you know, the recidivism is just, it's capital punishment.
Well, so. And we're not saying that that's the option for everybody, because it's not. But at the same time, sometimes you end up with no choice. I mean, in my case, I ended up having to do a little bit of that because they just would not go away. We tried everything. We wired everything up. They kept chewing through. I mean, I got so tired of putting hardware cloth up that I was just like, I think I need to reside the whole house with like steel.
It's kind of funny because it almost turned into that for me. You know, I was so frustrated that these things just kept coming in and coming in. I'm like, man, what do I have to do here? Do I have to put, you know, close the whole house up with aluminum, you know, aluminum shield?
It's kind of crazy. So some of the tips, how can you avoid this? So what are some of the ways you can avoid this? Well, one of the ways is really simple.
Yeah, I have found, and it wasn't simple for me, it wasn't inexpensive, but because I have the big trees around. And try to get rid of all the limbs that are reaching across over your house, or all the shrubs or something that are growing next to your house, you know, and they just climb right up on my brick. You know, sometimes I see them jump off the oak tree, you know, the branch, onto the chimney, and down, running around, you know, and I'll hear them on top of the house every once in a while. They can't get back in after, you know, what I was just describing earlier. But, you know, every once in a while I hear, you know, scampering, and I'll think, man, are they in the house again? No, you can hear them running around on their roof.
Yeah. They run around, looking around,
you know, they're playing up there. I'm like, oh.
But definitely keep the tree line. And if you have any trees that touch your roof, now this is really almost more important for rats and mice.
Yes.
So you really, 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 for rats and mice in particular, because I've had the rat issue. And why did I have a rat issue? Because I had literally some tree branches that were touching. They climb up the tree. They go right out on the roof. They do the same thing the squirrels. They find a soft spot. They dig a hole. They're in there. And the good news about rats is they do respond to poison. So, you know, unfortunately, I trimmed out the trees and then poisoned them. And I just used regular rat poison. And of course, they leave the house because they go looking for water.
Yeah.
But for it definitely keep the trees. It also helps save your roof. There's a bit of a, it's a double-edged sword, right? So it also keeps all the junk off your roof and the mold and the mildew and things like that. So it's more than just keeping the critters out, but it is really important to keep the trees off the house. Another, this is a little bit, but bird feeders, right? So folks, bird feeders need to be pretty far away from the house. Don't bait the animals into your, close to your home, because guess what? You know, just like us, we like the refrigerator in the next room.
Yeah, and, you know? And I'll tell you what I see all the time, is people put a bird feeder right on their deck, and here come the squirrels.
Yep.
Squirrels.
And they are relentless and on a bird feeder. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And it is a circus out there, okay? And all I can think of is these things, now that they're this close, they're going to be exploring how to get into your place. No doubt.
Well, again, you know
no
what?
No doubt. And that's way too close. I don't know. Listen, you know, what I mentioned earlier, I've just had way too much experience with these things over the last, you know, 30 years. New. I don't want those things around, you know, closer than that.
I do have to qualify, folks, to give you a description. John lives in the woods. I mean, literally in the woods. His house is surrounded by some very large trees. And I think that has a little bit to do with it.
It's a lot to do with it.
It has a lot to do with it. I don't have quite so many trees around, but I do have quite a number of squirrels. I'm amazed, actually, at how many squirrels there are in my neighborhood. So.
Yeah, I mean, when I lived in Chicago, I never had squirrels, you know, in the house or even trying to get into the house, as I recall. Now, we did have a raccoon that went down the chimney into the basement.
Ew.
And back up the chimney and out. And all we came down there, we saw, you know, raccoon feet because of the soot on the floor in the basement, walking around exploring, and out he went. But, you know, I never had this problem down, you know, where I'm living right now. It's in everybody around here, just because of the trees is, it's just a, it's, you know, you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I had a neighbor, that I was doing some work for, and I noticed the same thing going on. My eye goes right to these things now, you know,
it's like, of course.
And I'm like, you know, you got squirrels in your attic, in your house somewhere.
They're like, So where I grew up, we had walnut trees everywhere. My dad had this thing about growing black walnut trees. And so anyway, we had lots of squirrels. But again, we had none in the house that I can ever remember.
You know, it's just one of those things. Yeah.
Speaking of bird feeders, there was a time when I was growing up that we had rats out. So we did not have, the bird feeder was kind of off and away from the house. But we did have rats underneath the bird feeder. These are not city rats. These are country rats. Not that there's a difference. They're all the same. But they were really clean as far as rats go. You know, they weren't these nasty city-type rats that you, when you think of. But they had built an actual tunnel in underneath the bird feeder. Why? Because of simple food. And so we fixed that problem by moving the bird feeder. And the rats, you know, moved out. They never came into the house either. But they used to live in, they'd come in the barn and stuff like that, you know, where we... But anyway, that's a lot of this, really a lot of this you can control with food. One of the other tips, we're just going to kind of move on. One of the other tips is use a plastic owl. And plastic owls kind of work. I'll tell you what happens is they do get, if you don't move them on a regular basis.
they figure them out.
Yeah, they figure them out, right? You know, my preferred method is to just call in the real owls and let them do what owls do. We're really lucky, actually, where we live now. We have a whole series of owls. Yeah. I've seen some owls like really close to the house, but I've never seen them with squirrels. And same thing with the hawks. I really don't know. If I were a hawk and lived in my neighborhood, I'd be eating squirrel. Cause that's about, I mean, it's easy pickings. I mean, they're everywhere, and occasionally they'll take one, but not very often. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. But use a plastic owl. That'll work. Use a taste repellent. So again, these are like some spicy, you can get some spicy, really it's just made of natural, like, cayenne pepper and stuff. And they chew on that and they poof, they're gone. You know, they'll do it. This one I love. Use a motion activated sprinkler system.
Go back to the taste repellent real quick is that, you know, you can put pepper in your bird feed. Right.
Yes.
Because that doesn't, it doesn't affect birds. But when the squirrels get into it, you know, man, they, you know, put in some real good peppers, though, like ghost peppers. And then you're really, you know, then you can really look for some fun when those squirrels get into that.
Yeah. Cause they're like, whoa.
Yeah. They'll be gone for a while.
Yeah. You can do that to your neighbors if you don't like your neighbors too. Just mix it in with their food. Yeah, you know,
that's for another show.
That's for another show. That's right. That's a whole nother thing. I was just thinking of something else, Johnny. But anyway, I'll mention that sometime in a different show. All right. What else do we got? Any other ways to keep the squirrels and the critters out?
No, I think
mostly it's about controlling entry. Is the big.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's about it.
And that's the big thing.
That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, really. And it's not as easy. It's really not as easy. Boy, and when we had them, you know, and of course they're scratching up on the drywall up underneath, the dog was going crazy. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And, you know, I think the thing is, you know, go into this, you know, the last thing I'll say is go into this with your eyes wide open and just really understand it's probably going to be a very hard process if you try to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Without some kind of professional help, you know, if you don't know what you're doing. Because you'll get frustrated.
You'll get frustrated
very quickly.
I got frustrated with the professional people. They had to come back three times.
Yep.
It was something else. I thought, boy, it's a lot of money until they came back three times. And I was like, oh, okay, it wasn't so bad, you know.
And generally they'll even tell you that, you know, the first time might not be the last time they're there. And that's why you pay, you know, if you're on a program, that's why you pay insurance for the, you know, these guys, you know, a yearly, and they come out and they keep, you know, monitoring this. And if anything happens, they're on the hook to fix it. So,
it brings up a different, speaking of pests, John, how do we keep the spaceships from landing at the house?
Yeah. Ghost peppers.
You think it's worth a try? Hey, what the heck? I've tried everything else, you know. You know, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say? I'm just whatever. All right, folks. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please send us an email: questions@handymanprosradioshow.com or @handymanprosradioshow@gmail.com. Either way, we will get the message. We will put your stuff out on the air. We have a Facebook page that is @HandymanPros, and also you can go to our website, HandymanProsRadioShow.com. With all of that, we appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.